Again, there were a number of questions this evening, and a number of really great questions. I want to encourage you with the practice of questions, because we're not going to obviously be able to answer all the questions, but questions can be used as a kind of, you can hold a question and use it as a tool to encourage or incline towards an investigation and an understanding. And so you can live with a question. At one point when I was in the Peace Corps, I didn't have access to a teacher. I could write emails to a friend who would then pass them on to Gil, and he might say something or other, and she'd email me back. But what I found in that time was it was so long between writing the question and getting a response. I often actually, kind of I don't know that I got answers to the questions, but the questions kind of metamorphosed, and there was some wisdom that came just from reflecting and holding questions. So I want to just encourage that. So the question I thought I'd speak to today is, I used the phrase needing to be filled in the talk, and the question comes around that. Can you speak a little more about this sense of needing to be filled and the skillful use of external nourishment versus inner investigation? The feeling of needing to be filled comes from the sense of craving, of wanting something. And as soon as wanting appears, and wanting generally arises based on something pleasant that we like, we want to have, something unpleasant we want to get rid of. And that can be very complex. That's a simple way of describing it. But often what's pleasant or unpleasant are ideas in our mind. And we create these ideas of what we want in our mind. And it's a pleasant thought and we want to try to create that. Or it's an unpleasant thought and we think we have to get rid of something. So the grounding of wanting comes from a relationship to pleasant and unpleasant largely. And as soon as wanting happens, as soon as wanting springs up in our minds, it creates this feeling of lack. Immediately, as soon as wanting arises, there's a feeling of lack. There's a feeling that something's wrong, that something's missing. And the wanting, that state of mind of wanting, deceives us into believing that happiness will come from having the thing that we want, from filling that hole, the hole that's got the shape of the thing that we want, and that the wanting is deceiving us into believing that happiness will come from having that thing. In fact, it's a delusion. The delusion of wanting is that happiness will come from having that thing. The delusion of wanting, or, you know, wanting springing up in that way, the mind state of wanting is not going to inform you that if the wanting goes away, the feeling of lack goes away. And this is part of the exploration around wanting. When we can hang out with the feeling of wanting, the uncomfortable feeling of needing to be filled, the feeling of wanting and that feeling of needing to be filled basically being so tied together, we can hang out with that feeling of needing to be filled. We'll see that that state of mind, it is a state of mind, is impermanent. And it doesn't last. Now, it may go and come back, but if you're being attentive, if you're watching, you may see that feeling of wanting disappear, or you may lose interest and go on to something else and notice later, oh, it's gone. Gosh, I don't want that thing anymore. What happened? But you may be actually able to see the feeling of wanting disappear. And the times that I've experienced that, when I've experienced wanting disappear, it feels like being released from a vice grip. The wanting goes away, and the feeling of lack goes away. The suffering goes away. So wanting deceives us, deludes us into believing we have to get the thing that we want. And this process actually kind of cements itself even further. There's a further delusion that develops because we live a lot by wanting things and having things and being happy when we get them. And that's a lot where our history of happiness has come from. That we've wanted something and we've gotten it, and it's like, yeah, it feels good when we get what we want. From that, the mind believes, essentially, that, you know, that having what we want is the way to happiness, because that's what we've largely known and experienced in our lives. Over and over again, we've gotten what we want, and there's been a sense of niceness of that. And the Buddha doesn't deny the happiness of this, the happiness of having nice things, the happiness of getting what we want. But he does say that that kind of happiness is the least kind of happiness that's available. So in this cycle that we get hooked into of wanting things, and if we get them, being happy about them. If we don't get them, we generally get miserable about them. We feel like there's a problem, we've failed, we've done something wrong. Why me? Why can't I have what I want when everybody else seems to get what they want? But we do, at times, have this getting what we want. And actually, in that moment of getting what we want, we get this double hit of pleasure. Because we get the thing that we want, and the wanting goes away in that moment. And the larger part of the happiness is actually because the wanting goes away. And again, wanting is not going to tell you that. You know, wanting has got a lot of delusion, a lot of filters going. The other thing that happens with this cycle around wanting is that because we have this belief, the delusion of wanting, get what you want, you'll be happy. Get what you want, you'll be happy. And that's been confirmed over and over again. We get a little bit of happiness, and that's largely the way we've gotten happiness. And so we get this belief that wanting things and having them is the way to happiness. And so this conditions wanting. Even if there's nothing particularly that we want, if we're not feeling happy, it's like, well, what do I want to want? What do I want to want so that I can feel good about myself again? So we get this kind of this interesting state of, I think of it as internet mind or Google mind. You know, maybe you've experienced sitting in front of the Google page trying to think of what you want to know. I think that that's one of the reasons we really encourage you not to use the devices, because it is such an addictive kind of process. We want to want something, we think of something, we do the search, we get that little bit of information, it's like, oh yeah, that was good, what else do I want to know? So we have this cycle, this delusional cycle around wanting. And so a lot of the practice is around exploring the feeling of wanting itself, looking at that feeling, seeing if you can hang out with it and watch it. Pick some kind of wanting that feels fairly unthreatening. You know, I did this on one retreat with a wanting around looking at people doing walking meditation. And whenever somebody walked by, it felt like a magnetic pull. I want to look at that person. And I decided I wasn't going to look at them, but I was going to watch the wanting of wanting to look at them. I learned a lot about wanting by looking at a small kind of wanting. And that's where I learned that seeing the ending of wanting was feeling like being released from a vice grip. So there's a lot that we can explore by looking at the wanting itself. And a lot that we can understand about our minds, especially as we see the wanting go away. The question goes on to express an interest in particular about how this applies to romantic relationship. And I think there's an interesting little addition here in romantic relationship. You know, the wanting around relationship, I think there is a kind of we're social beings. There's a connectivity that may be part of our biology. I mean, I know that if babies don't have connection, you know, they don't grow up healthy. So there's, you know, something kind of very fundamental about connection. And yet the again, there's a kind of a misunderstanding I think we have around that connection. And somehow we get the idea that being loved, at least this was what it was for me. I thought that being loved, having somebody love me, was what would make me feel good about myself. That's the kind of the whole, wanting to be loved, wanting somebody to pour that, you know, that good, those good feelings into me so that I would feel whole and feel complete. So we have that idea of wanting to be loved. I think, you know, the wanting to be loved often has a lot of expectation and demands, and it's often not coming necessarily from a place of wholeness. In fact, it isn't wholeness because it's trying to fill some feeling up, some feeling of lack up, the feeling of wanting somebody to love you. In my own, I had a real exploration of this at one point when I fell in love with somebody, and it was unrequited. They weren't interested. And I felt the feeling of that, you know, it was kind of like being rejected. But I also still felt that some of the feelings, it's like just because they weren't reciprocated didn't mean that those feelings of loving that person went away. And yet, my initial thought was that these feelings are inappropriate. You know, I have to get rid of these feelings. What will make me happy is to not love that person anymore. You know, what will make me happy is to not want that person to love me. And, you know, I worked with this for quite a while. I don't remember how long, but just feeling the feelings of that kind of pull towards wishing that person would be interested, and the feeling of, you know, the feeling of some kind of connection there. And at some point in that exploration, the mind kind of let go of a fear around the feeling that I was feeling, the feeling of loving that person. It let go of the fear that, well, you know, it's not okay to love somebody and not have them love you back. And in feeling that release into that feeling, what it felt like was just an open-hearted connection with that person that was just like, oh, it was like somebody unstopped the dam in my heart towards that person. It was like, oh, I hope you're happy. You know, just this feeling of the heart opening towards that person, but not needing the response, not needing anything back. Now, what was so striking in that moment was was not the the feeling of the love was pretty striking, you know, that kind of the well-wishing, the feeling of metta for that person not needing anything back. But what really struck me in that moment, what my mind said to me is, this is what I've been looking for. In all the times that I'd been looking for a relationship, for something to fill me up, the connection of loving is really what we're looking for. It's not about being loved, but opening the heart to love. And it was quite beautiful to feel that without needing anything back, and to sense the sense of completeness, or the sense of loveliness. And so I think there is that connection, that deep kind of maybe biological need for connection. Maybe it's not necessarily just a wanting, but something deeper. But looking at, you know, do you need to have something, or is it something that you can offer? Is the connection something that can be offered here without needing anything back?